Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition, Hour 2. In Hour 1, we covered a lot of ground. Some legal ground. The resignation letter heard around the world. Mark Pomerantz left the Manhattan District Attorney's Office with a scathing, a blistering resignation letter and basically challenged the courage of his boss, Alvin Briggs, is it? The new DA, Manhattan DA. But quit and said, you know what? Trump's a big fat felon and you should have done something about it. And then we spent some time dramatically reading from the new Trump v. Hillary Clinton lawsuit. And I got to tell, you know, you are a fair audience. I actually think this is brilliant. And I mean that in all sincerity. By Donald Trump? Oh, well, this lawsuit muddied the waters. And it is complete horse crap. If you actually read in, you will realize there's no there. This is really just a write it for the boss and keep the old man happy kind of a lawsuit. But what it will effectively do, it will feed right-wing media and the media silo that is Fox News and right-wing talk radio and OAN and all those sort of spaces where the truth never quite gets in. But this Trump lawsuit, oh man, they're going to eat this stuff up. So I want to prepare you folks for what was coming. Also in this hour, I want to talk about why it is that these prosecutors fail to charge the former president. Is it because the American people are numb and prosecutors don't have the courage to take on Trump because the American people don't have the attention span for it? Well, we'll get there. Not our fair audience. You guys have a three-hour-a-day attention span at minimum. I feel quite confident. But here's some brand-new breaking news. This just dropped, and it's regarding the Trump, you know, the attempted coup of the January 6th, and some compromising text messages between a Supreme Court justice's wife, let's call her Jenny Thomas, and the chief of staff to the former president, let's call him Mark Meadows. And there are some new allegations against Meadows and his wife. Apparently, they both committed voter fraud when they claimed they were voting for, you know, some trailer in North Carolina. Might get to that this hour as well. But here's the breaking. First on CNN, January 6th committee has the text messages between Jenny Thomas and Mark Meadows. Now, I'm going to set the stage with some of this reporting. The House Select Committee investigating the J6 riot has in its possession more than two dozen, that's 24 folks, text messages between former Trump White House chief of staff Mark Meadows, the chief's chief, right? That's the name of the book he wrote. Mark Meadows and Virginia Jenny Thomas, a conservative activist. And oh yeah, what else is she known for? She is the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. According to multiple sources familiar with the messages, these text messages, according to sources, took place between early November of 2020. That's right around the election time, right, Fancy Brian? In mid-January of 2021. Well, that would be sometime after the little January 6th coup d'etat insurrectionist kerfluffle. Thomas recently revealed that she attended the pro-Trump rally that preceded the U.S. Capitol attack on January 6th. But she says she played no role in planning the events of that day. Well, I hope she's not contradicted by, let's call it, 24 text messages to Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Now, the content of the text messages may be of interest to the committee's investigation. Yes, they may be, because it asked Meadows in a subpoena to turn over both documents and your deposition testimony regarding these and other matters that are within the scope of the committee's activity. The revelation of text messages between Thomas and Meadows, both key allies of the former President Donald Trump, come as progressives, guys like me, and some legal ethics experts see her activism as a potential conflict of interest. Doesn't everybody see that? For Justice Thomas's work on some Supreme Court cases. Oh no, it's just fine that a Supreme Court justice is married to an insurrectionist. And she probably didn't plan it, but what if she did and the 24 text messages are, you know, less than exonerating? The text messages in the committee's possession are only part of the tranche of documents that Meadows provided to the committee during the short period of time he was cooperating with their investigation. They do not necessarily represent the sum total of communication between Thomas and Meadows during that period of time. What, there's more text messages? There's also the possibility some messages were not turned over due to privilege claims. Whose privilege? Meadows and Thomas are longtime friends, both of whom have been active in conservative causes for decades. Meadows' wife apparently also quite a righty-whitey activist. And while Thomas has been actively involved in politics, she says she has been careful, very careful, to distance her activity from her husband. You know, we've got the spot in the middle of the bed. He can't cross that spot.
I've been careful to make sure he has an alibi all the time.
Well, I'm not sure that he needs the alibi. I think it's she that may need the alibi. But we have our own separate careers and our own ideas and opinions, too. Clarence doesn't discuss his work with me, and I don't involve him in my work, she recently told the Free Beacon. CNN reached out to both Meadows' attorney and Thomas directly for comment and have yet to hear back. A spokesperson for the committee declined to comment. So that's the latest, folks. Mark Meadows, apparently in communication with Jenny Thomas. And that would seem, at least if there's any planning going on there, that would be in direct contradiction to what she has said publicly very recently. And he won't recuse. There'll be no recusals. His wife could be before the court. Thomas is not going to recuse. Just one man's opinion. Here is another strongly held opinion. You got to have the courage to prosecute the former president. Now, if you were a prosecutor and you're trying to make a name for yourself, you'd think, oh, everybody wants to prosecute Trump. No, that's not the case. It takes a lot of courage and probably a very strong case, a winnable case. And that's, yes, go ahead.
Well, if you heard the voice messages from what the Milwaukee County clerk was getting or the Milwaukee City clerk was getting, imagine being the person prosecuting Donald Trump and the type of stuff you're going to have to go through just to do that. So you're already going through personal hell knowing that going in.
But the problem is, Fancy Brian, as I see it, and I'm going to share a little opinion piece that helps support this claim. The problem is the American people. We've been anesthetized to Donald Trump and his shenanigans, let's just call them. And it's not just because of Trump's prior actions. It's because of 50 years of prior crazy. And people's being undermined, our belief, our faith in government being undermined from Watergate forward. And I would point out, as we go through a few of these historical dates, most of the drama, it happens under Republicans. Just take note of that. Fear of presidential accountability is allowing former President Donald Trump to roam the streets while Americans lose faith in the legal system that has failed to rein in his behavior. I couldn't have said it better myself. There was once an era, not so long ago, in my lifetime, when Americans had so much trust in their government that most folks couldn't fathom a president committing felonies in the White House. Well, that's according to Philadelphia Inquirer columnist William Bunch, and he wrote in the pre-Watergate era, only when whistleblowers, first campaign-tied burglar James McCord, then White House counsel James Dean, came forward in the spring of 1973, did Americans start to understand the depth of the scandals. The public was both stunned and utterly spellbound. Bunch described listening to on Audible to Watergate, A New History by journalist Garrett Graff. As he listened to Graff's new book, he recounted reading strikingly similar headlines about arguably an even lower moment in American history than the downfall of Nixon. A flood of disclosures about the involvement of former President Donald Trump and his roguish inner circle in efforts to unlawfully overturn President Biden's 2020 election victory, culminating in the deadly January 6, 2021 insurrection on the Capitol Hill. He noted a lot had changed in the half century since Watergate. Again, a quote. And yet it is also not hard to see the differences in a nation that's become increasingly jaded and weary about scandal after 5 decades of Vietnam, Iraq, Iran-Contra, Enron, and so on. Several months of stunning headlines that have revealed the January 6th chaos as an attempted coup against the peaceful transfer of presidential power have been overwhelmed again and again by understandable distractions, such as a war in Ukraine and inflation, he noted. But two massively important new disclosures from just this week involving Trump's criminality have really hammered home the comparison to Watergate and how one of the nation's greatest mistakes from the 1970s is coming back to haunt America in the 2020s with possible dire consequences for the future of our democracy. January 6th, after all, it didn't happen in a vacuum. And then he went on to talk about the Mark Pomerantz, the resignation letter. He described it as blistering. I called it the resignation letter, the shot heard around the world. And he also talked about the allegations leveled at Trump by his buddy, Mo Brooks, Rep Mo Brooks from Alabama, right? Trump withdrew his endorsement and Brooks went public, leveled a lot of allegations. Trump is still trying to overturn the results of the election, still trying to put forward coup attempts as late as September of 2021. It's pretty recent history. It's like 2 business quarters ago. Come back. More Devil's Advocates, I think, in business quarters. And, you know, show segments and commercial breaks. So come back. 2 and 2, something like that. More Devil's.
Yeah, I wrote this stuff all down. Although I don't need it because I have a really good memory.
What did you guys do? Take it and do something crazy to it?
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.